Bloomberg, the first word with Ken Pruitt.
Our guest is Jeremy Stretch, Executive Director and Head of Foreign Exchange Strategy at Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce. He's based in London. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning, Ken.
Let me ask you about one of our top economic stories today. It has to do with confidence in Europe. Fell by the most since December of 2008 as the debt crisis continued to roil markets. What's the implication there for the European zone economy and the euro?
Well, clearly declining confidence is never a good thing to report, and in view of the sort of the structural negatives that we continue to see, not just in the eurozone but also in North America as well, it's not that surprising. But clearly, I think deteriorating confidence is going to cause consumers to remain cautious in terms of spending, and of course, then that does become rather self-reinforcing in terms of downturns in activity and reinforces weaker sentiment. So I think it's another headwind for the eurozone economy, and it's another headache for the European Central Bank to consider when they meet to determine their next move on policy next week.
Well, this sort of goes on along with last week's report that business confidence in Germany, the strongest economy in the eurozone, has taken a turn down.
Yes, that's right. In essence, I think what we've seen is, of course, that the eurozone economy has been increasingly powered and dominated by German economic activity. So whilst the periphery of Europe over the last year or two has been under pressure, that's been offset by strong growth in Germany. But even in Germany, exports have been starting to suffer. And, of course, confidence has also been eroded by the broader structural negatives. So if we do see a deceleration in Germany, then net-net that is a downturn or a deterioration factor for European growth prospects, and certainly those prospects look relatively modest into 2012, and that's why I think the European Central Bank are going to be forced to reassess their previous path of monetary tightening when they come to make their decision next week, because inflationary pressures I think are going to be relatively temporary, and activity levels are certainly on a declining trend.
Well, is it time to start talking about a double dip again?
I don't think it's necessarily time to talk about a double dip, but I think what we have to recognize is that politicians and policymakers the world over, not just in the eurozone, but probably in all Western developed markets, have to recognize that after years of leverage-fueled growth, we have to embark on a period of deleveraging, and that also means that it's going to be a period of very slow, very lackluster growth, which is going to be relatively poor in terms of the employment backdrop, and it's also going to be rather challenging for politicians who, of course, want to get re-elected. So I think we have to recognize that we are in a much slower growth environment, and the politicians and policymakers have limitations in terms of their actions to boost sentiment and or activity in the short term.
Well, we have the euro here at the $1.44 level. What's your forecast?
Well, we're really stuck in a range, I think, just at the moment, because, of course, in terms of the euro-dollar story, we've got the euro, which has any number of structural impediments on the one side, and on the other, of course, you have the U.S., which has been impacted by the deficit debate. You mentioned about just now about the Obama jobs package, but the limited room for maneuver that they have in the U.S. because of the fiscal dynamics. So, in essence, you have two very damaged economic zones butting heads against each other, and realistically, I think that probably implies that at least for now that we're stuck in a range with probably 145.5 on the top side, 142.5 on the downside. But I think the risks into the month of September could prove to be more troubling for the euro side of the equation because of the political dynamics. The upcoming Chancellor Merkel in Germany is finding it increasingly difficult to hold together her coalition, and her political power is waning. So I wouldn't be surprised that if we go through the month of September and we see more politician-led fragility in the eurozone, then I think we could well break to the downside out of that 42.5, 45.5 range.
Well, what about the situation with Finland insisting on collateral before there are any more help to peripheral countries?
Well, in essence, I think that just underlines the difficulties that the eurozone has in terms of its rescue mechanisms, because we are reliant on the stronger nations of the eurozone, those that still have AAA ratings, backing up their commitments to the recovery process. And the whole debate about Finland and collateral for Greece has been rumbling around for certainly the last week or two, and it just underlines the differential positions of certain politicians. And that lack of unity from the political standpoint, I think, does risk weighing on the euro's outlook. So I think that's one of the factors which is going to continue to be a drag on euro sentiment.
Well, one of the latest developments out of Europe this morning, Italy sold 10-year bonds at an average yield of 5.22%, which is a good half point below what they had to pay just a month ago.
That is indeed true, but of course, over the course of the last couple of weeks, we've seen the ECB actively buying bonds in Italy, amongst other peripherals, through the securities markets program. So you can argue that the reason why yields are substantially lower is because of artificial stimulation for the Italian bond market. I think the yield compared to the previous auction is encouraging, but I think if you look to the big to cover ratio, that was actually somewhat lower at 1.27 times versus 1.38. So there was a lack of demand compared to the previous auction. I think that's probably as instructive in terms of market sentiment compared to the lower level of yield on offer.
We have the Swiss franc this morning at 81.92 to the dollar. We've seen more than one attempt by the Swiss to try to get the franc down. Is it working now?
Well, the S&P are clearly probably keeping their fingers very firmly crossed that the global environment will continue to remain relatively stable. I think what we saw from the Bernanke speech on Friday was that the markets reacted to a Fed not wanting to panic, and I think that provided a little bit of respite to the sort of the risk-off trades, which are proving so damaging for the Swiss franc and for the SNB. I think until, particularly in terms of Euro-Swiss, rather than necessarily dollar-Swiss, but in terms of Euro-Swiss, until we get that north of 120, we've been up just sort of south of 119 today, and we have been a little higher than that. But until we get north of 120, I don't think the SNB and the Swiss franc are out of the woods just yet. I think we need to see how the data backdrop plays out this week, particularly in the U.S. in terms of forward-looking things like manufacturing ISM, but also, of course, payrolls, before the SMB are, as I say, going to breathe a slight sigh of relief and seeing that the strength of the Swiss franc, which was clearly impacting sentiment, and saw that biggest drop in business sentiment in 2 years last week, whether that sort of pressure on the Swiss currency is going to go away for a permanent period.
Jeremy Stretch, Executive Director and Head of Foreign Exchange Strategy at Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce. Jeremy, based in London.
You can subscribe to Bloomberg's premium podcast service at Bloomberg.com/Tom Keene and listen to Bloomberg The First Word weekday mornings at 5 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2011 Bloomberg LP.